Good morning, folks.
Good morning.
It's a bit like coming home for me. That's the way it feels. That's just how I feel about SCF. So it's really great to be here. If you have a Bible, would you turn to Luke chapter 23, please? Luke 23 records the crucifixion of Jesus. And it's really not a very nice picture. I used to think of Calvary, and I used to think there is a green hill far away without a city wall. And I realized, yeah, it was far away. It's without a city wall, but it definitely wasn't a green hill. It was probably more of a mud-colored hill, totally stained with red blood from all the people who had been crucified there. There was a smell, a stench of human flesh. It wasn't a pretty place. It was a horrible, horrible place. And it was on that hill that Jesus was crucified. And I want to take up the story. We know about how Jesus was crucified, and he's hanging on the cross. People are shouting out, railing him, shouting at him. The blood flows from his head, his hands, his feet, his side. And I want this morning just to focus on the two criminals, and rather, perhaps one of them, who got saved that day. So let's pick up the story at verse 32. And it says, two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. And when they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there, along with the criminals, one on the right hand, the other on the left. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, he saved others. Let him save himself if he is God's Messiah, the chosen one. The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine and vinegar and said, if you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. There was a written notice above him which read, this is the king of the Jews. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us. But the other criminal rebuked him. Don't you fear God, he said, since you are under the same sentence? We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve, but this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus answered him, truly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. Watching people die is never easy. I was with a good friend just a couple of weeks ago. I'm with her every day until she died. And it was peaceful. death scenes today are mostly like that. Lying in a hospital bed, the cushions, the pillows are all puffed up, the nurse is looking after you, doctor's making sure that you get enough morphine so that you won't have pain. Screens pulled round so that it can be private, the family. That's what most deathbed scenes were like today. But this scene was different. It wasn't like that. There were no screams. Jesus and the two thieves hung naked on a cross. Everybody was watching. There was no pain relief, no morphine, no doctors, no nurses. It was not a pretty sight. And I want to take time this morning just to look at this dying man and to look at some of the things and look at him and what the Bible tells us about him and what we can glean from the picture in the Bible. Let's look at him physically. Does this thing not work? It doesn't seem to be. Anyway, that's it. Cut it. The obvious thing is, he's dying. He's a man on the edge of eternity. Every breath that he gasps takes him closer and closer to his eternal destiny. His life's blood is flowing from his wounds. And every second brings him closer to death. And we all think, I'm glad that wasn't me. But here's the truth. It is. Because like him, we're dying. All of us. Every breath we take brings us closer and closer to eternity. We make jokes about grey hair and false teeth and wearing glasses and wrinkles and all those kind of things. But those are the things that tell you you're dying. You're dying on your feet. And that's the truth of it all. And somehow we find it easier to believe that the rest of the world will die, but we'll not. And it's good for us to remind ourselves, if we're Christians, look, this world's not our home. We're heading out of it. And it helps us maybe to get our priorities right, if we would realize that. And if you're not a Christian, then you need to realize that you too are dying. And like this man, when you leave this world, it will be to a worse place, not to a better place. The second thing that strikes me about this man is that he's destitute. And that's true of every person who's dying. He was a thief. No doubt he had his good times. I guarantee you there were times when this boy was rolling in money. I I guarantee you there were times when he had loads of friends. But you see, when you're dying, you have nothing. The Bible says that you brought nothing into this world, and you can bring nothing out. Let me tell you, my friend was a lovely Christian woman. And throughout her lifetime, she accumulated an awful lot of money, and she gave an awful lot away. I'll tell you, see those seats you're sitting in? She bought them. See the nice floor and all that we have downstairs and a lot of the stuff around here? She paid for them. She had almost £1 million. But you know what? She left it all behind. When it comes to death, no matter what you accumulate, now don't get me wrong, good to have money, it's handy when you need to go to Tesco's. And, it's nice to have a good house and all that kind of thing. But at the end of the day, when you come to die, you leave it all behind. And it's great to have good friends. Thank God for them. I don't know what I would ever get through life without good friends. But when you come to die, you leave them all behind. And it's great to have family. And thank God for family. But when you come to die, like this man, leave it all behind. So that's looking at him physically. I'd better move on or we'll be here to daytime. Just remember that. It's good to remind ourselves of that. Let's look at him mentally. And this is important because he's alert. He's not unconscious. He's not drugged out of his mind so that he can't feel the pain. He's alert. He's able to talk. He's able to reason. He's able to think about his past and what he had done. He's able to think about his present and where he is and that he deserves all he's getting. And he's able to think about Jesus and who he really is. And that's important. Because you see, if someone is ever going to be saved and put their trust in Jesus, they need to be alert. And the second thing I want to say about him is he's angry. In Luke's gospel it doesn't come across, but in Matthew's gospel and in Mark's gospel it tells us that he joined with his friend in shouting at Jesus. He was railing Jesus. People can be like that sometimes when they're ill, when things happen. When they find out that they're going to die, they start to shout at God. And blame God and get angry with God and get angry with Jesus. And say, well, why God did you do this on me? and so on. So those are two things that we can say about him mentally, physically and mentally, but I want to really major just for the remainder of our time and looking at his spiritual state. Look at him spiritually. And this is something that really is important, because he is awakened to see some things. Let me tell you, this boy never went to Sunday school. He probably never had a copy of the Torah, the law, the Bible. He was no theologian. He probably never ever believed in God. He was dead spiritually. And that's the way we are if we're not saved. The same way. And the only way that this man could ever come to see the things that he sees is because God awakened him. He was awakened to see the sinlessness of Jesus. He was able to say, we are getting what we deserve. But this man, he has done nothing amiss. He has done nothing wrong. And that's important. He had listened to Jesus. As Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He came to realize that this man that was being crucified beside him was perfect in every way. Now let me tell you something. If you have come to realize that, if you've come to realize that Jesus was absolutely sinless and perfect, you haven't figured that out on your own. It's God who has revealed it to you, who has awakened you to that fact. And the other thing is, he came to realize the sovereignty of Jesus. He calls him Lord. And he talks about him having a kingdom. And he never learnt that in Sunday school. And he never read that in the Bible. And maybe you learnt it in Sunday school and you read it in the Bible. But if you've come to realize that that's true, that Jesus is Lord, now let me tell you, you haven't figured that out on your own. God has revealed it to you. God has awakened you to that point that Jesus is sinless and that Jesus is the sovereign Lord of the universe. And another thing, he has come to realize that Jesus is his only hope of salvation. Get the picture. He's hanging on the cross beside Jesus. And his friend on the other side of Jesus is shouting across at Jesus. And the crowd are shouting. And the crowd are shouting, he saved others. Let him save himself. And I can see this man's mind. He saved others. He saved others. He did. He could save me. Lord, remember me. And he didn't figure that out on his own. He was awakened to that by my God. And you haven't figured. If you have come to a point where you realize that Jesus is absolutely perfect and sinless, that when he died on the cross, he wasn't dying for his own sins. If you have come to realize that Jesus is Lord, the Lord of the universe, and if you have come to realize that Jesus alone can save you, then God's Holy Spirit has revealed that to you. You haven't figured it out on your own. And that's where he's moved to pray. I doubt if this man had ever prayed in his life. I doubt it. I doubt if he ever believed there was a God. But he's moved to pray. And the thing that strikes me about this is that he prays a simple prayer. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. It's not complicated. There's only 7 words. Sorry, 9 words, I think, is it? Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Whatever. But it's simple, it's easy to understand. This is a dying faith. Calling out to a dying Jesus for salvation. His time's running out. He can't take time to think about writing out a long prayer. His hands are nailed to a cross. He couldn't do it anyway. He can't take time to think about using all the right words. Whenever you get to this point, you don't worry about the right words. He's praying simply. Lord, remember me. And he's praying sincerely. This is coming from his heart. Let me tell you, when you realize that you're dying and you're facing eternity and you know that Jesus alone can save you, there's no room for hypocrisy. There's no room for letting on. Putting on a show. So many things he could have asked. Lord, ease my pain. Lord, prolong my life. Lord, get me out of here. Get me down off this cross. But that's not what he asked for. He realizes that the thing that matters is where he's going to spend eternity. And here's an interesting thing. He prays audibly. How do I know that? Well, somebody wrote it down. And it's amazing. Amidst all the crying of the crowd and all the shouting and all that was going on, Jesus hears the prayer of this dying thief. And he answers him. And he says, today you'll be with me in paradise. He prays audibly and he confesses with his mouth. One of my favorite verses is Romans 10:9. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So here's a dying thief. And if Alec was here sitting at the front, I would ask Alec, where is he? And what would he answer? Huh?
No.
Exactly. But here, there was another dying thief. And if I were to ask, where did he go? What would you say? Saw the same thing, heard the same words from Jesus, but it didn't affect him. He wasn't awakened to his need, nor was he awakened to the fact that Jesus was the sinless Son of God who was dying for sinners so that he could save them. So here's the question. Have you been awakened?
No.
Have you been awakened to your need? Do you know that Jesus is sinless? That he died on the cross for sinners? That he alone can save you? And God has brought you that far? You know what you need to do? You need to cry out to God. You need to say, Lord, remember me. Lord, save me. And you know what? If you do that, he will save you. He has said, whoever comes to me, I will not cast out. And for those of us who are saved, let's learn the lessons from this man. And let's realize that time on earth is short. And that it's only what's done for Jesus that will last for eternity. Let's bow in prayer. Just maybe God has been speaking to you. And maybe right now you know you need to be saved. You know Jesus can save you. And what I'm saying to you is, ask him now. Ask him to save you. And he'll do it. Lord, we thank you for the way that you dealt in grace with this man on the cross. And those of us who are saved want to thank you for the way you dealt in grace with us. And you continue to deal with us in grace. And we pray, Lord, that you will help us to live for you from day to day. And to live in the light of eternity. Lord, for anybody here who's not saved, pray that even today, that you would awaken them to their need, that you would awaken them to the fact that Jesus alone can save, and that be brought to the place where they would call out for salvation. We pray in his name. Amen.